And as we wrap up the Total Eclipse series, I want to review just a little bit the last couple of weeks. What we have talked about over the last couple of weeks is, you know, we started with the topic about taking these celestial events that we have and putting them into kind of a mentality for us to understand a little bit about our walk with Christ. And we started by talking about those who might be brighter stars than us and who shine a little brighter, who seem to have a little bit more going for them. And the reality of it is that we have to be okay in someone else's shadow. And then we get into talking about what eclipses Christ in our life. Then we talk about how we eclipse Christ for others. And it led us into today's discussion. And today we're talking about an eclipse of a different kind. We're talking about something that usually happens either 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after a solar eclipse. And that is a lunar eclipse. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit this morning. You know, 2 weeks ago we had a solar eclipse, which means right about now, on the opposite side of the world, would typically be a lunar eclipse if there's going to be one. And what that is when the Earth moves into the path of the sun's light to the moon. Whereas a solar eclipse is when the moon moves through the path of the sun's light to the Earth. It's the opposite. What we see here, though, however, is that as we discussed this last week, that we realized that we can eclipse Christ for others in our lives. And with that thought in mind, we need to look at how much the moon is actually like us in our Christian walk. And what we need to see in this today, I heard Louis Giglio preach a sermon on this one time, and he's the founder of the Passion Movement, the Chris Tomlin, David Crowder, and all that, the worship movement that swept the nation a few years ago. But Louis Giglio is a pastor from Atlanta, and he shared his sermon. And I may have alluded to this one time before. I'm not sure if it was on Sunday morning or if it was on a Sunday evening when I alluded to this. But I talked about how he describes, and he had these pictures, and he would show the Earth. And then he would compare it with Jupiter. And then he would compare that with the smallest star. And he went and was comparing size of things within our universe. And then he compared the universe. And then he made this statement that stuck with me ever since then. And that statement was this. He said, "I don't say these things to make you feel small. I say these things because you are small." And if we really think about the grand scheme of the universe and the size of the Earth and everything that goes with it, we are. We're a very small part of this universe. But yet we're held in high enough regard that a God who is bigger than all of that would create us and want a personal relationship with us. I could stop there, and that's a great message for us to take with us today. But I'm not going to, because I still have a little bit of time left. But no, in all reality, what we see is this. And John 3:30 is what I started with last week. I want to continue with that this week. And that was simply the words, "He must increase and I must decrease." When we realize how small we truly are, when we realize the size of us compared to everything else. But then I got to thinking about the moon. And I got to thinking about how with the solar eclipse, it casts a shadow big enough to blot out the sun in certain areas. And the moon can get in the way of the sun sometimes. Just like I talked about last week, how we are the moon in many ways within the Christian walk. And as we move between the sun, we blot out the sun for others, because we become more about ourselves and less about him, and they can't see him for the shadow that we're casting. That being said, one of the other things that happens within our Christian walk, and what I want us to understand about this week, let's take a look at the features of the moon that we know. The moon is 400 times smaller than the sun. It's 400 times closer to the world than the sun. So based on that, we've talked about this. Based on that, they fit perfectly together when a solar eclipse happens, and you can see the moon take shape within the sun, and you get to experience all of that. But what we also know is there's something about the moon that we need to understand. Now, before I get into all these little details, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 and 6 to 16. And I'll read those for us this morning. It says something interesting here. In Genesis chapter 1, and what it says there is that then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So, a couple things we see in this verse. One, God is the source of life. Right? God created the light, so he is the source of light. Two is the greater light is made to shine in the day, and we see the effects of that right now. We see the sun shining. We feel the warmth of the sun, and we know. But then there's those moments of darkness, which a lesser light shines in. We know the moon doesn't shine, right? But it reflects. The moon reflects the sun's light to this earth. So as I got to thinking about that, and you talk about these things and you think about them, you start to realize what it means to decrease so that he can increase. Because if you start to look at your life in a celestial way, if you start to look at your life in the way that it all is, and we look at the last 3 weeks of the conversations we've had about the sun, moon, and stars, you start to realize there are stars that shine brighter than you. There's a sun that shines during the day, and it's a greater light than the night light. But there's a light in the night that sounds a lot like you, because it doesn't shine on its own. It doesn't cast on its own light. And really, sometimes the world can get between you and the sun. Sometimes you can get between the sun and the world. But the reality of it all is that as the moon, your creation was to be a light in this world. A light that shines into the darkness. A light that is reflecting the light of the sun himself. And when we start to think about it that way, and we start to put these things together, where we find ourselves is where we are today. We find ourselves reflecting Christ rather than allowing the world to get between us. But sometimes we do allow that to happen. Sometimes we lose sight of who we are supposed to be, and we go through those phases just like the moon. But when the moon's shining full and bright, and you can see that full reflection of a full moon, how bright is it sometimes? How bright are you shining the light of Christ to others because you're being a reflection today? Notice that the scripture says to us here, I've got a couple more verses I want to look at this morning. So I want us to turn to John chapter 8, verse 12, and John chapter 9, verse 5. And we're going to stay right here in the book of John. We're going to look at this today, and we're going to see something that we need to understand today. But John chapter 9, verse 5 is where I want to start. John 9:5 says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Well, John 8:12 says to us this. You know, that those are the words of Jesus saying, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But in John 8:12 it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" So Jesus is reminding us here that he is the light of the world. In John chapter 3, we also see that prior to the conversation where John the Baptist says, "I must decrease, he must increase." Prior to that conversation, we see around John 3:16, 3:17, 18, 19, and in there it tells us this: "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." There's a reason I believe right now that we can see in just looking at this that we understand sometimes men don't like to reflect the light of Christ because they enjoy the darkness. They enjoy the opportunity to have something come between them and God. And a lunar eclipse happens when the moon is behind the earth, when the earth moves perfectly into the path of the sun. And the world casts a shadow on the moon, and the world keeps the sun's light from being reflected because it's a direct reflection. When that happens, what we need to understand today is this. Sometimes we get wrapped up. We get confused. We don't understand. We get so wrapped up in the things around us that we let ourselves lose sight of the sun. Sometimes we let ourselves lose sight of the reflection that we're supposed to have. And sometimes it all lines up just right to where we let the world get in the way and all we can see is darkness. But what we find ourselves talking about here is this, that in the book of Genesis, what I read just a moment ago, it says that God has two lights to light the world, one today and one tonight. The sun and one to light the night, the moon. The sun generates light for the world while the moon merely reflects the sun's light. So as I review everything I've said this morning and we put it together, here is the thing. The moon merely reflects the sun just exactly in the same way that we are to reflect the sun. And I'm not talking about the sun that we see right now. I'm talking about the Son of God. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the light of Christ. He is the light of the world, and we are to reflect that light. But we need to notice this as well. There is an occurrence that scientists refer to as a lunar eclipse, as I've mentioned, where the world gets between the sun and the moon. And when this happens, the moon is totally dark and reflects no light. Have you experienced a spiritual lunar eclipse in your life? Have you experienced something that has taken you out of that realm to understand what we need to understand today? Has the world come between you and the Son of God? Now, as we've talked about becoming the one that comes between God and the rest of the world, and we talked about that last week about us being the moon, and sometimes we get in the way of God. Folks, today, I want to look at it from your perspective. We talked about not letting things eclipse the sun a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't talk about it in the depth that I want to talk about it as today. As we look at the size of things around us and we think about the world, we think about the things that we face, there's a few things that I see today that cause a spiritual eclipse in our lives. There's a few things that I want us to look at today that can cause us to have a spiritual eclipse as far as a lunar eclipse goes, because we are the moon. We are to reflect the sun's light, and many times the world does get in the way. The first is an ungodly life. That's plain and simple. We can see the ones who have been eclipsed and are still eclipsed by just simply looking at the fruits of their labor. We look at the life that they have, the life that they show. They live an ungodly life because they are living for self. How many of us do that at times to time? We decide that this is something about us and not necessarily about the others around us. Or, better yet, we've become selfish and we want to live only for us and not for the sacrifice that God has required of us. We can look at Scripture and see some of those. I mean, if we think about it today and we look at the Scripture around us and we look at the things that we've seen, I can name you quite a few where someone was eclipsed by the worldly thing. Someone was eclipsed by the way that the world needed them to be. Look at Samson. And just think about the life of Samson. Samson had been made a promise by God that as long as he followed it in the steps and he promised what he would do, that he would be fulfilled and that he would not be forsaken. And what did Samson do? He allowed the world to come between he and God. He allowed his desires to take a step forward while he pushed God to the back. He's not the only one. I mean, Judas had everything that we all need. He was a disciple, right? But yet somewhere along the way, Judas lost sight. The world got in the way of him and the Son. And he became the one who betrayed Christ, who led him to the cross, in essence. We've got numbers of things. David was a man after God's own heart, but David experienced a lunar eclipse. David was on the roof and he looked at Bathsheba and the world came between him and God. And what typically happens when we do that? Well, we start to live for self. We start to seek our desires. We start to live in sin. And we start to look for the things that make us happy, but we're not looking for the things that make us happy in the long term. We're looking for the pleasures that make us happy in the now. We're looking for the right now moment when we're not living the right way, but we're living for the moment. It's that you only live once mentality that this new generation has had for the last few years, and they say it over and over to justify their actions. Well, I mean, I can do this because you only live once. Well, you're right. But what if that causes the death that keeps you from living beyond that point? Because the more we give into those things, the more we give into the sins of this world, the more we let the world come between us and the sun, the colder it gets, the darker it gets, and the harder it gets for us to see him move. Because we become comfortable with the shadows. We become comfortable with the evil around us. Let me go back to John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Let's continue into verse 20 now. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes into the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. What if a lunar eclipse happened this evening? We looked out and the moon just all of a sudden disappeared. But then the moon decided to stay hidden behind the earth for the rest of its time. Other than it throwing things off here on the earth, according to science, we would lose light at night, correct? It would be darker. I mean, if you find a night where the new moon is in and the earth is completely shadowing the moon's or the sun's reflection, and I'm not talking about just this one little movement. I'm talking about a new moon when the moon is behind the earth and you don't see the reflection of the sun. When it's out of the direction, or it's actually on the same side as the sun. And so you're not seeing the moon move. You're not seeing the moon reflect the sun. It can get dark in places. It can get pitch black dark in places. But that's the thing about the world today, is that we are that light. But if we choose to stay in the shadows, if the earth's rotation began to match that of the moon around the earth, all of a sudden there would be a dark point on the earth and we would be refusing to move into the light. And there would be a time when it would keep us from seeing what that light is, and it would be basically the same as living in an ungodliness. Living an ungodly life, living for self, living in sin, finding ourselves in a circumstance where we live only for what we want and not for what he wants or needs from us. The second thing that we can see is an unforgiving spirit. How many of us have one of those today? When we are spiritually eclipsed, how many of us have ever been through something where we've basically determined that we will not forgive someone? Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, that is what leads to many of the discussions that happen within the church today. It is what leads to many of the distractions that happen in the world today. It is what leads to many of the things that happen within our marriages, within our relationships with one another. There's a distraction, and it's an unforgiving spirit. Because we don't want, but it's a reflection of what is taking place with the other that I just mentioned. If we are living an ungodly life, we are living an unclean life, and we are living only for self, we are going to have an unforgiving spirit because someone has let us down. Someone has let us down based on what we think they should have done, when in reality they might have been doing something for the Lord, and we chose to say, look, you weren't doing that for me, so I don't forgive you. Have you ever said you would never forgive someone? Have you ever been so hurt and so upset with someone that you have decided that forgiving them is not an option? Maybe you sit here today and you actually have that mentality about you. I'm just going to tell you, that is part of a spiritual eclipse. Because when you allow that unforgiving spirit to take hold within you, when you allow that unforgiveness to take hold in you, you become bitter. You possess grudges. You prevent growth. And you produce guilt within yourself. You are miserable. Forgiveness is not about you. Or not about them. It's about you. Forgiveness is not about the person you forgive so much as it's about you letting go so that you can understand forgiveness. Could you imagine if Christ had went to the cross and said, well, I'm not dying to forgive you. I'm only dying, you know, like if Christ had gone to the cross, our forgiveness, we have to understand that we need to know we're forgiven for it to even matter to us, right? But if Christ had decided not to go to the cross because he didn't want to forgive us, that's a whole other thing. But if Sharon has wronged me, Sharon could live the rest of her life knowing, not even knowing that she has wronged me. I'm not saying you have. I'm just saying. But if Sharon would have wronged me, Sharon could go the rest of her life without ever even knowing that I had felt that way. I'm the one that has to let go of it. I'm the one that has to be forgiving and forgive someone whether they know it or not. Because if I'm not willing to let go of it, then I'm the one that's possessing this unforgiving spirit. I'm the one that is possessing a grudge. I'm the one that is living in a spiritual eclipse while she's going on with her life because she never knew the other. She didn't know she had a problem. She didn't know that I had a problem with her. Reality of it is, if she's not guilty over it, then maybe who's wrong in the situation in the first place? It comes to us getting over and moving on. If you want to live a life that's fulfilled, you have to let go and move forward. You have to forgive. You know, that can lead into another thing. Ungodly life leads us to an unforgiving spirit, but it also leads us to something a little bit deeper. It leads us into being unavailable for service. And when we become unavailable for service to those around us, to the church, to the community, to those that Christ has called us to be there for, that could be physical, spiritual, mental, financially, whatever the case might be. When we are unavailable to serve those around us, we have become wrapped up in who? Ourself. That's the only thing that we have become wrapped up in. And when we are not reflecting the light of the Lord, when we are not reflecting Him, then we are not serving others. Because the only thing the moon is to do is to reflect the light of the sun. And that is done through serving. That is done through reflecting. That is done through living as the light. The moon itself does not shine, but it offers us light at night because it reflects the one who does. The moon serves us in that way. And we are to serve others. Those that are in the darkness, we are to reflect the light of the sun so that they can see that they are in the darkness. There's a reason why people who live in the world, people who are struggling through it, and people who are wrapped up in it, there's a reason why they feel the need to try to get away from God's people. And it's because we reflect the light of the sun so much that it makes them see the flaws they have. It makes them see, and we don't have to say a word. Sometimes that example we set is simply in the reflection we put forth. The next thing that we see is there's an undisciplined anger. And as we get ready to wrap this up this morning, you need to understand that undisciplined anger comes with a couple of signs that we can see within ourselves today. Those are bad attitude and bad temper. When we have a bad attitude about things, it turns into anger. When we have a bad temper, it turns into even more anger. A bad attitude is simply, you know, attitude's a choice. We choose how we're going to feel about a circumstance or a situation. But if we're constantly choosing to be angry and upset and complain and let those things take hold in our heart, then maybe we need to look if we might be in a spiritual eclipse. We might be overwhelmed with the struggles that are coming, but we're not allowing the light of God in. We're not allowing that light to shine into the moments in our lives. We cannot reflect the light as the moon should reflect if we are not allowing the world to get out of the way. If we're continuing to hide in the shadows, the light can't get in. And we start to become these things. We start to become undisciplined in our anger. And the last thing is that we have unreliable actions. We go through all of this, an ungodly life, an unforgiving spirit, and we become unavailable for serving. We have an undisciplined anger, and then we have unreliable actions. Unreliable actions are that we're not faithful, we're not dependable, we're not trustworthy. Can people trust you today? Can they count on you to be there? Are you faithful to the cause that you're supposed to be faithful to? I mean, it's like clockwork sometimes. I can trust certain people who are going to be certain places at certain times, right? If you have a job and you're not trustworthy to come in at the time you're to come in, or if you have a job and you're not trustworthy to even show up, are you going to keep the job? It's the same thing with the Spirit of God. If you're not trustworthy to carry it and to reflect that light to the rest of the world, do you think it's going to keep shining in the way that it has? Well, it will, but you won't reflect it because you can't count on it because you're hiding in the shadows and it can't get to you. But through others, it will, because they are reflecting it. They are trustworthy. They are allowing it to take hold. But the thing that we need to understand today is that when we act in these ways, when we let these things take hold in us today, the world becomes quite influential. And what we think is a reflection of the sun may merely be a reflection of something that is false. We think we're reflecting the sun into the world, but it might just be a flashlight that the devil has concocted to shine for a moment, a bright light like the bat signal that's just there for a moment, only when it's needed, but then it cuts off because it's not needed all the time. And then you're left in the dark, and you're left searching. And the thing is that my question to you today, my question that we need to answer, and this is an answer that only you can give, are you reflecting the light of the sun? Are you reflecting Christ to the world just as the moon does the sun? Or are there times when you allow the world to come between you and God? Are you allowing the world to take a place that it shouldn't take? Now, sometimes, you know, with a lunar eclipse, it just passes through and moves on. But my question is, are you hiding in the shadows? Are you staying in that eclipse state? Are you trying your best to hide because you don't want the world to see who you really are? You don't want others to see the truth about who you are. The light exposes the darkness, and the darkness is a little scary to those that have something that's dark. Those that don't want their flaws seen. But how is your life looking today? Are you shining a light into the darkness, or are you allowing the world to come between you and God in such a way that the world cannot see Him reflected in your life? That the world cannot see you reflecting a light of Christ? Are you a moon, or are you hiding in the shadows, hoping that the moon effect doesn't work with you? Because the reality of it is that we are moons. We are like the moon in many ways, and we need to turn things around. Sometimes we need to get out of the shadows and continue on because our purpose is to reflect the light. But sometimes we've decided that our orbit's not necessarily around what it should be. It doesn't even say that our life should orbit Christ. It does, however, orbit Christ while orbiting those that He wants us to go to. Our world should be about service. Our lives should be about serving those around us, and we should be around looking for the opportunities to let that light shine. It may not always be to the same group of people. It may not always be in the same regards as it was yesterday, but it should always be a part of who we are. If we think about the moon and the phases of the moon, we're seeing a new moon. The other side of the world is seeing a full moon. The moon is always reflecting the light of the sun. It just depends on what sky. But here's the thing. It's still reflecting. No matter what group of people it's around, no matter what group of people it's seeing, the only time that the moon goes dark is when the world comes between the moon and the sun.
And if the world is coming between the world, you and the sun today, can you reflect the light as you need to? Can you reflect things the way that you should? The answer is no. But we need to allow the world to continue on its path, to get out of the way so that we can again serve the world with that reflection that we've been asked to reflect. So today I want to ask you, are you reflecting? Are you becoming the moon to those around you, or are you allowing that world to stay? Are you trying to stay in the shadows and stay where you need to? Because it really comes down to that one verse. It comes down to the verse, John 3:30. You must increase, and I must decrease. I've got to get out of the way so the world can see his light. But at times, I also need the world to get out of the way so that the earth can see his light. I've got to get out of the way so the world can see his reflection in me. I've got to let everything take part. I've got to rip it out. I've got to be available to be seen, but I can't pull things in front of me. I can't let the world take that opportunity away. So if you have a decision to make today, come as we sing. We're going to sing 201 just as I am. And the thing is that if you have a decision to make, he wants to take you just as you are, just as you will be. He wants you to be you. He wants you to live for the purpose that he's created you to live for. And that is to reflect him. That's all we are. We're little reflectors. We're like the little red and blue reflectors at the end of a driveway. When you turn and you start to see the reflectors, the purpose is to show you where to go. We are reflectors. Our purpose is to show others where to go for Christ, where to find him. Because when we reflect, then they can see the light and they can follow the source.